every Saturday at noon Eastern Time for the style and culture of travel. Join Club Culturati and connect with me on social media at travelingculturati.com.
Howard University was founded in 1867 in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Howard University prides itself in a tradition of quality education. Whatever your particular interest, Howard University will provide you with numerous resources to excel. Howard University has an illustrious network of alumni that span the country and the global community. For more information on Howard University, log on to www.howard.edu.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shelley Flace with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Cloth masks can help keep your family safe when you're in public during the pandemic. All children over 2 should wear masks. The mask should cover your child's nose and mouth and fit snugly but comfortably. Wash and dry the mask after each use. Just like wearing a bike helmet and buckling their seatbelt, kids will get used to wearing a mask. For more on children's health during COVID-19, talk with your pediatrician or visit healthychildren.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is a world premiere. Go-Go is now on Sirius XM. It's Crank Radio with Shorty Corleone
and Rico Anderson.
Saturdays and Sundays,
9 to 10,
Channel 141,
HUR Voices.
Check in
and check out the Crank.
Let's Go-Go.
All you want to know about Go-Go is right here on Crank Radio.
There's no party like a Crank Radio party, because a Crank Radio party don't stop.
Did you know 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. MatchingDonors.com is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that links organ donors with people in desperate need of kidneys and other transplants. And now you don't need to donate a kidney to save a life. You can donate your boat, car, or real estate, with 100% of the proceeds going to help save the lives of people needing organ transplants. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 800-385-0422.
My stomach issues make me want to stay home, but that's not an option. No matter how prepared I am, I still feel nervous. Enough is enough.
If this sounds familiar, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation can offer you support and connect you with a specialist.
Don't keep your symptoms to yourself. Get help at spillyourguts.org today.
It's Weekend with Ed Gordon. We give you your favorite stars.
Charlie Wilson.
R&B was suffering for a long time because of hip-hop.
Kevin Hart.
I don't care what side you are, how tough you are, you love to be around the people that's going to make you laugh.
Stephanie Mills.
Just like in Whitney's case, how can you have all those people around you and you die?
We get involved.
If we want a good black history lesson, we should probably not go to Quentin Tarantino.
And we're jammed.
Hey, it's Ed Gordon. Join me Sunday nights at 9 on Sirius Channel 141.
Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues, 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The United States is slowly inching closer to President Biden's goal of 70% of the population vaccinated against COVID-19 by the 4th of July. But across the Atlantic and Africa, the numbers are dire. Just weeks ago, the WHO reporting vaccine rates hovering around 3%. New cases are up some 30% since last reporting. What's going on with COVID-19 in Africa? And why is this more critical now than at the height of the pandemic last year? Well, joining me to talk about this are Dr. Madi Shaiswayo Davis, infectious disease physician with the John Cochran VA Medical Center, and Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. Lines are open. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Davis and Dr. Tuckson, thank you both for joining the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Let me start with you, Dr. Davis. What's happening on the continent right now with these low vaccination rates and these high reportings of infection rates? What are we missing?
I mean, honestly, if I'm being very honest, there's
please
a lot of
concern yes.
with what we see here within communities of color, in that this is nothing new. This is because of a long-term post-colonial that's very similar to the way systemic racism has had an impact here. And it's quite frankly an issue of health inequity that we have been quite fine putting up with for decades, for centuries, quite frankly, right? And we see this here, COVID-19, when this first started, we saw a disproportionate impact in Black and brown communities. Everybody was, you know, surprised and shocked and in horror, but anyone who's done disparities work, you know, kind of rolled their eyes figuratively, because we have seen this time and time again with high blood pressure, with diabetes, with cancers, really across the spectrum, because it's not about the disease itself as it is the underlying symptoms. So since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen these health inequities. And now when we're seeing a new wave of inequity, vaccine inequity, where in North America, 60% of people have received a vaccine compared to the statistic you just gave, 3%. That's absolutely unacceptable, because we can't act like we are on our own little island and we can afford to leave people on their island not doing well. We're a global community, you know, and now with international travel up, a threat anywhere is a threat to us all. So this is a very serious issue that has been compounded over centuries, but certainly through this pandemic, I don't think enough attention was paid to health equity towards the disease itself, diagnostics, testing, resources, and now vaccine equity has also not been given the attention it deserves.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you sound like you're talking about the early stages of communities of color in the United States.
Absolutely.
But we are talking about, you know, now on, you know, on the continent of Africa, particularly we're talking about, you know, Zambia, South Africa, Uganda, Namibia, Tunisia, for example, being responsible for 70% of new cases. And with travel restrictions being lifted here in the United States and more people traveling to the continent, whether it be for business or for recreation, why is the continent lagging behind?
Because we did not pay attention to giving them the resources they needed from the beginning. So let's take this back to the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We all watched in horror as coronavirus hit China, right? Everybody had a couple of months to prepare their own strategies. If you look at the epidemiology of how COVID progressed on the continent compared to even how the U.S. handled it, in all honesty, people do not love to give this press, but the African Union and the African CDC did an amazing job. They figured out, listen, we don't have a lot of resources, so we have to work on prevention. We're going to partner with community partners, community leaders, especially in countries where a lot, you know, there were some people who wouldn't really give COVID its due. So they went to community leaders. And if you look at the rates of infection, if you look at death, the numbers were not as bad as they were here for most of the beginning of this pandemic. But we did not then think to use that buffer to get them resources for diagnostics, to be thoughtful about the fact that they got one of the worst variants, you know, has been in South Africa since January, right? The South African variant has been known to be, until the Indian variant just a month ago, the most highly transmissible and has some immune evasion properties, meaning that even with a good effective vaccine, it seemed to have the capacity to not be as easily suppressed. So we did not take advantage of a head start, figuratively, where Africa was doing great from about March through the end of last year, mid to late last year. Rates were not that high, but we didn't pay attention to the fact that this is still a continent that doesn't have the same resources, the same capacity to test, the same infrastructure that we do, and that if hit with something like a South African variant and then coupled with the fact that we didn't give them the same equity of vaccines as the rest of us do. Of course this was bound to happen. So this is a failure of unity and a failure of leadership. And I'm very, very encouraged that now finally the Biden-Harris administration at the G7 summit made some really bold leadership initiatives around donations, around commitments to lifting patents in the future, and around really addressing this, because they understand the very issue you just brought up, which is we are traveling now. People are traveling, and we can get to herd immunity here in the States, but the moment we start traveling to places where you have these really bad variants and really high transmission rates, that just comes back home with us, and we're right back to where we started.
Dr. Tuckson, what role do you believe vaccine hesitancy may have played in this situation in Africa? And the reason I ask that, because at the very top of the pandemic, and we know this was a complete falsehood, but we heard that, you know, Black people don't get COVID. This is just not something that happened to them. And, you know, the very first people, the first patients at the very beginning of the pandemic here in the United States were not people of color. They were certainly seniors and white people. But then it began to hit communities of color severely. Do you believe that as the vaccine became available, just like in this country, we have a huge issue with vaccine hesitancy? Do you think that played a role and is playing perhaps a role in Africa prior to situations being as bad as they are now?
It's a great question, but let's remember one fundamental thing. You have to have vaccine to be hesitant to take. They don't have the vaccine. So,
right.
Again, I think what we have to understand here is when the United States and other rich countries, white countries, European countries, when they hoarded all of the doses and bought them up to take care of their people and their country, they did not, therefore, allow any room for any other doses to be distributed around the world. So white folks in the United States and in Europe took care of folk in their country. And now, finally, we are getting the President Biden and Harris are now moving that forward. The second thing that my colleague touched on, and I think it is very important, especially for those of us who care about Pan-Africanism and the development of the continent, was the decision to limit now the patent so that you can have production of the vaccine in country. And South Africa is leading the way there now. So that what we will start to see is not having this continuous dependence upon the colonial powers, but in fact now Africans can start making drugs to save their own lives.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Dr. Tuckson, a couple of months ago, you and I had a conversation on this program about poor infrastructure in India and why they were seeing huge infection rates as well as huge numbers of deaths. Are we going to see more of that issue even as the continent tries to make the shift and get its vaccine numbers up? Is infrastructure an issue in Africa right now?
A great question, and it is absolutely, certainly is a major problem. And what we're seeing now is the impact of this of the pandemic in Africa is hitting the security system, the politics, the economics, the social systems. All of those are being hit. And the health sector, which was already very fragile prior to the pandemic, now we're seeing not only the hospital and essential services being disrupted, in some cases overrun, but also we're seeing now that it has impacted the ability to immunize their population from other very prevalent and very deadly communicable diseases. We're seeing non-communicable diseases affected, prenatal and antenatal care, family planning, contraception. All of these services are now being put into abeyance because the system is overloaded trying to take care of sick folk. And I hope before we end, Hal, that everything that we are saying today comes down to the fact that for my brothers and sisters in the United States, let this be a lesson. Here you have so easy an access to get vaccinated to save black lives that we are almost throwing away doses because they are now expired. And our brothers and sisters are dying in Africa, pleading and begging for the doses that we don't even use in the United States.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about COVID-19 and the battle against the pandemic in Africa. Why are the vaccine rates so low? And why are infection rates so high? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. As you mentioned, Dr. Davis, as it relates to what President Biden said at the G7 summit last year, he mentioned some 500 million doses to be distributed internationally. That may sound like a lot, a half a billion, but we're talking about a half a billion outside of the U.S. Do you think that that will be effective, and not all of those doses are going to Africa?
Excellent question. The deficit is too large. So we need both short and long-term measures. So the 500 million doses, absolutely. We'll take those. We'll take those absolutely, right? But they're only a dent, and they're only a Band-Aid on a still very open wound that needs to be addressed. And so while I believe that those short-term measures can help sustain those certain countries, especially the countries with higher case positivity rates, who I believe should be prioritized first, and those they can put things at bay while we focus on the long-term issues. So my colleague touched upon the fact that we will be focusing on creating manufacturing hubs, right? Some very learned folks who have done this work in the past have suggested really great measures that include having four main international manufacturing hubs that address certain regions that are predetermined, that these continue to make vaccines and make sure that their jurisdictions they've been assigned have been made. This requires a long-term commitment, though. It requires raw materials. It requires the lifting of patents. It requires oversight to be lifted as well. So there's much that goes into that. And while they're working on that, donations need to be made. 500 million sounds like a lot, but sources, very, very good sources, have claimed that there is still more vaccines, that after we vaccinated all the folks that we have in the U.S., we still have excess vaccines. Even if you account for, we should probably leave a little extra just in case, there is still more. So every country, all of these large countries that my colleague touched upon, need to dig deeper and provide more of the short-term donations until we can come up with that long-term sustainable goal. And those manufacturing hubs won't just be for COVID. They will have sustainability beyond. They will help with the manufacturing of other vaccines that these low and middle-income countries do not have. I believe that it has to be a two-pronged approach.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
This is what's on my mind. I find it extremely ironic that you have all your dignitaries who are trying to support this narrative that for some strange reason, Africa is being denied support. The reality of it is Africa is in bed with China.
What do you mean by that?
Infrastructure they've sold to China for revenue. Now, all of a sudden, we should be crying and feeling the blues for Africa when they are in bed with China.
What do you mean by that, Kevin? And Kevin, what do you mean by that? And quickly, what is your proof?
Let me explain.
Real quick. You've got 30 seconds.
As fast as possible.
Yeah.
If you go back a couple of months, China, you have Chinese people who've been traveling from Africa from day one when the virus started. They were traveling to China. I mean, from China to Africa, and they live there. They bought the country, but yet and still, they don't provide them with the vaccine that they are actually supplying to their own people. Yet and still, here in the United States, where Africans deny even respecting African Americans. But yet and still, you guys want us to be supportive of them when they are disrespectful and deny the very African Americans that they live around here in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. It makes no sense to me how all of a sudden we should be so sorry for them when they sold their country to China. That makes no sense to me.
Well, let me say this, Kevin, because this is less about having sympathy for Africans and understanding that this is a global issue. This is a pandemic, number one, and I'm sure Dr. Tuckson can certainly speak to that. But the other thing is Americans, African Americans, are also traveling across the Atlantic. We have a truncated show tonight, so I'm going to let you have the last word on that particular point, Dr. Tuckson.
Please don't go to that narrative where you talk about African.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Tuckson.
I think that one of the terrible things that has happened in this pandemic, if we have learned any lessons, it is the politicization of the pandemic as opposed to caring about human beings. I could give a damn about the politics of all of this and whether China did this or somebody's in bed with. What I care about is human beings are dying. And if you have no sense of compassion for human life, then you should never come on radio shows and raise these points. I mean, who in the world would ever decide that you can throw away human lives, and especially human lives that look just like us, by the way, to throw away human lives around some kind of a political occasion. We have got to be better than that as human beings. And I believe that 99% of us are better than that. And I would hope that our caller would take another look about whether or not he would trade human life with some kind of crazy political calculation.
I think
can I just add to that, Dr.
I unfortunately, I got 15 seconds, and I am out of time. But we have a truncated program tonight. But I do want to thank you, Dr. Mahdi Shaswayo-Davis and Dr. Reed Tuckson, for participating in this conversation. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, June 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.